I wonder why you're here today. I've got three suggested reasons. I'm sure you can come up with some that aren't on this list, but there are probably three reasons that loosely encapture everyone who would be here. One might be that you're exploring faith, you're interested in faith. There's something about this Christianity that you want to know. Is this true? Is this real? And so Easter Sunday is a good Sunday to come and explore that because it's obviously a significant Sunday in the life of the church. Maybe you're here today because you're a follower of Jesus and going to church either every Sunday or most Sundays or when you can, based around different things, it's just something that you do. You call Austin Cove Church home, or you call church home and you're in the area today, and so you've come along to Austin Cove. Or maybe your family goes to church at Easter. It's just what happens. At Easter, Christmas, whatever that might be, that's a time that you go to church. And so for most of us, we can probably look at that list and go, yeah, one of those actually covers why I'm here today. But here's what I want to suggest to you, that no matter why you're here, today is actually the most important day of your year. Today is actually the most important day of you. Now, you might have some incredible things coming up this year. Maybe you've got weddings, maybe you've got things, celebrations or anniversaries. Kelsey and I have our 10-year anniversary this year. I don't quite know how that happened so quickly, but yes, that's coming up. Maybe you've got some significant events in a broader family or some things to do with your job or your work. Maybe you're expecting a promotion. Today is the most important day of your year. We're finalizing our series today, looking at the road to the cross. And what we've been doing across these last few weeks, just to catch you up if you haven't been around, is we've been looking at some different perspectives of the cross, of what this whole Easter story is all about. The first week, we look at the disciples' view, and we looked at those who sort of followed Jesus throughout the journey, from where they started when they just thought he was a rabbi, all the way through to recognizing him as their Lord, as their Savior, and as the promised Messiah that they'd been expecting. But when we left them those few weeks ago, we hadn't had the cross yet. They hadn't got the full story just yet. 2 weeks ago, well, actually last Sunday, two services ago, we looked at the Jewish leaders' view. And the Jewish leaders, there's all kinds of different Jewish leaders. There's the Pharisees and there's the Sadducees. There's the scribes, there's the teachers of the law. And they all kind of get bunched together, but there's actually a whole lot of different things amongst them. But we looked at the question of why did they struggle with Jesus? Why was it that they seemed to always come up against him and there was different things about what was going on that he just didn't kind of get? Then on Good Friday, we gathered together and we looked at the sinner's view. And what was fascinating about Jesus is sinners seemed to want to be with him. Even though it kind of made them be very, very clear of their own sin and they sort of knew it. And we had the story of the lady who washed his feet with her hair. So was her desire to be with Jesus. And this idea that right up until the cross, right until when Jesus died, as he's hanging on the cross and he says, "Forgive them, Father, they do not what they're doing," that right to the very end, he had a heart of forgiveness and that he is looking for any excuse to offer that forgiveness to us. But all of these views are pointless without the last view that we're going to look at today. The view that we're going to look at, the lens that we're going to look at the Easter story through, is the resurrection view. Why is it that the resurrection is so significant? What is it about it? What is it that sort of changes things? Or another way of wording this is, why does Christianity still exist? Why is it that we're in the year 2022 and Christianity is actually still a thing? 2022, give or take, depending on when you actually date things. Years later, Christianity not only just exists, but it actually exists around the world. It's still the largest religion around the world. There are other religions that are very significant as well. But something about the humble origins of Christianity has meant that it still exists today. And I want to suggest, and we're going to explore a little bit, that without the resurrection, Nothing else matters. But if the resurrection is true, if it is actually what happened, if Jesus really rose again, that actually shapes and changes everything. So jump with me into John. John chapter 20, verse 19. So we're picking the story up. Jesus has died. His disciples have gathered together and they're lost. They didn't expect Jesus to die. Like, he'd been building it up and they already believed he was the Messiah and now he's dead. What does that mean for us? And so John tells us, on the evening of that first day, Easter Sunday, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. I'm just going to pause there. Right now, the overwhelming sense for the disciples is they're going to get us. They got Jesus. Where next? What have we done? What did we sign up to? How did we get it so wrong, maybe they were thinking? Because they're absolutely sure. They've locked the doors. They've barred them. They're sure that the Jewish leaders are out to get them. They're afraid. They're not expecting a triumphant finish. They're not expecting things to go. They're not planning in 10 years' time the trip they're going to take somewhere around the world. They're worried about being alive tomorrow. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, also what I love about this is the doors are locked and Jesus comes. Yeah, just a little miracle just to bring it out towards the end. The doors are locked, but Jesus comes. But we have to remember that immediately following Jesus' death, and this is a really important part of the story, there was no triumphance amongst the disciples when Jesus died. They didn't know that this was part of the story. They were like, "Oh, just wait, Jesus has got a really cool trick, you see, he's going to come back and it's going to change everything." Their immediate reaction right now is, "Oh, we're stuffed. We're stuffed, we're done. The Jewish leaders, they're going to come and get us." And you have to catch that, because you read the rest of the story and without seeing that lens, you think that it's just a story that just went like this. But it's actually because of the disciples sat in this place of loss that actually connects with every one of us who've gone through this journey. Whether you believe Jesus' story or whether you're still exploring or not sure, I know that everyone has had doubts about this. And right now, at the start of this story, the disciples doubt the ending. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. It's almost like an understatement. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were a little bit happy. They were like, "Oh my goodness, it's Jesus." But here's the thing, again, don't miss this. They knew it was Jesus, not because he had some glow over his head. There wasn't like an angel sort of saying, "This is the Lord." He was there in the flesh. He hadn't been restored to the fullness of what he was. He hadn't had all the wounds and stuff taken away. He actually showed them his hands and his side. He knew that they had to see, this is the Jesus that was crucified. This is the man that just a couple of days before they had seen crying out from the cross. He's with them in the flesh. And then what's interesting here is that Jesus' appearance to them, it seems to have opened their eyes to what was going on. It seems to have illuminated them to the rest of the story. It's almost like the light bulb moment finally goes on and they go, "Oh, that's what he meant all along." And it twigs something for them and they go, "Wow, He really is the Messiah. But they actually had to have that moment of doubt. They had to sit in that place of really like, oh, I guess this isn't where I sort of thought saw things going. Because now that they see what's actually happened, it enlivens faith for them. So what I want to spend the rest of our time looking at is just how significant was the resurrection. Like, we obviously spent a lot of time, you know, looking at the teachings of Jesus, looking at the miracles of Jesus, looking at the stories of Jesus, looking at, you know, at Christmas, looking at the birth of Jesus. All of that is really significant, but what is it about the resurrection? Is it really that important? Some people kind of try and say, you know what, you know, Christianity is great and it teaches a really good message. If it wasn't just for that Jesus, you know, rising from the dead bit. Just sort of take it, you just take it without that and it's still really good. What I want to suggest and what we actually have to ground ourselves in as followers of Jesus is that it's the resurrection which is the essential of essentials. Because it is through the lens of the resurrection that everything else comes into focus. That without the resurrection, nothing else matters. That the resurrection of Jesus became the focus of their entire message. That you actually cannot divorce the story of Christianity from the resurrection. It's like pulling out the foundations and removing everything of significance. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to just work through the book of Acts. I'm just going to pick one book. And we're going to look at all the different times that the resurrection is mentioned or spoken of or alluded to and what the content and how it's important and why that is so significant. In Acts 2:32, just at the start, it says this, God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of this. Now, if you don't know the context to Acts, it was written by Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. The book of Luke is meant to be the story of Jesus when he was there. And the book of Acts is what happened next. What happened after Jesus returned to be with God? This is what happened from here. The disciples were sent out, and the book of Acts captures the stories of the very early church. And so here are these same people who just a few moments ago we saw in John are cowering in a room with the doors locked, expecting to be arrested, expecting to be taken away. And instead we now find them going out and saying publicly, we are witnesses to the Lord rising from the dead. We're witnesses, we saw him alive. In Acts 3:15 we see this. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Again, witnesses of what? Not of the miracles, not of the birth, not of all the other things. What are they witnesses of? They're witnesses that Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's what's essential to them in their understanding of the person of Jesus. Acts 3, we're not done yet, we're right at the start. Acts 3, verse 26. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So he was raised up and he was sent to you. But he was raised up. He raised up his servant from the dead. Acts 4:2. They were greatly disturbed. This is the people around there. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. It's kind of a natural follow-on that if Jesus can rise from the dead, that if God has the power to bring his son back to life, maybe that can happen for others. And it's actually used as a backdrop to, because Jesus has risen, we can also be brought back alive. That there is hope beyond this life. That there is hope beyond the pain we might experience now. That there is hope beyond the things that we're facing in our lives at the moment. There is hope beyond the suffering and the disease and the brokenness of this life, because the God of the universe, he can raise people from the dead. In Acts 4:10, it says this: "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." So a healing has taken place. And they're kind of trying to work out, like, by whose authority did you do this? How was this done? How did the disciples do this? And they go, "Ha-ha, I'm glad you asked. You know that man that you killed? He is raised from the dead, and because of that, this man is now healed." In Acts 4:33, it says, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all." Again, what's the focus? What's the heart? What's the message? Jesus' resurrection. Something about the resurrection that shapes everything. Acts 5:30, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross." Acts 10:40, "But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." He sent him out to actually be on display so that that people actually saw the physical raised Jesus. Acts 13, verse 30. "But God raised him from the dead." Again and again and again and again. The resurrection of Jesus is the heart and soul of the story of the Christian faith. There's another place that this is written about. It's in the book of Corinthians, so the first letter to the Corinthians. So this is Paul, a different author, Paul writing to the people of Corinth. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's almost like here he looks at, you know, how are people going to take this story? Well, to some, they're going to look at this story and go, "Well, that disproves Christianity right there. I mean, someone coming back from the dead. What are you talking about? Foolishness." And yet for those who catch it, that's the story that anchors their faith. The story. Cross. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom." They're the common things that are looked for by those people. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." What is it that the early disciples taught? What was their teaching based on? What was the heart and the soul of what they were saying? "We preach Christ crucified. Again and again and again. This is what the disciples shared. This is what sent Christianity out into the world. This is the thing that I had to get across to a person. A person had to wrestle with the question, is the story of the resurrection true? You see, your resurrection view, how you look at this story specifically, the story of the cross, it will shape your life. It will shape your view of Christianity. It will shape how you interact with the broader story of the Christian faith. Because it is the heart and soul of the message of Jesus. So here's the question that is asked. Did Jesus rise from the dead? That's the story that the resurrection view wrestles with. If you don't believe that happened, if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, nothing else about the story of Christianity matters. Sure, you might like some of it. There might be some good principles. There might be some things that sort of help you get by. But actually, the story of Christianity has no meaning whatsoever without the resurrection of Jesus. It is laid clearly by the disciples and the way that they chose to follow him. If you're exploring faith today, or maybe you're re-exploring, or maybe you're unsure, or maybe you've been following Jesus, but actually right now you've just got some doubts. This is the question to wrestle with. Because everything else, and I'm not saying it's neat and tidy and easy, and just because you get an answer to this, everything else makes sense. But this is the starting point. That if Jesus rose from the dead, I'm in that person's camp. Like if they can rise from the dead, I'm going to follow them and use the rest of my life to grapple with and wrestle with and come to understand what's going on. And if that didn't happen, if the central part of the story isn't true, let's go do something else. There are other things I can do with my life. But if that is what matters, then that's important. So if yes, if you actually believe that's true, the death and resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of every other decision that you make. And one of the things that I think is hard as a follower of Jesus is we can actually almost lose sight of that point. And we almost kind of put it to the side and we sort of want to do other things. And because if we take it seriously, if we actually think that is true, that calls us to something. That calls us to look at the rest of the teaching of Jesus. That calls us to make some awkward decisions. Because remember, the passage we read before says, this is going to appear foolish to people. That you're going to go to someone and say, oh, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. And they go, oh, I believe you should be put somewhere. Like, it's foolish. If someone doesn't believe this, you are going to look silly. And it's nice to kind of pretend that that's not true, but it is. And if you believe it, it will shape everything else in your life, the job that you take, the person that you marry, the places that you go, the activities that you take part in. The way that you view the world is shaped through the lens of the resurrection. If you'll have eyes to see the difference that it makes. If you believe in the resurrection, then when you have really good things going on in your life, you're going to remember, you're going to remain humble, you're going to say, and I can only stand here because of the cross of Christ. I can only appreciate these things because of what the Lord has done for me. And if you believe in the resurrection and you're going through the deepest, darkest tunnel, you're going through pain that's excruciating day in, day out, and you're watching it. You can sit there and go, and for this pain, my Savior died for me. For this brokenness that is not the way things should be. There is hope because He is risen. He is risen indeed. And though this day I do not know it, though this day I do not see it, there is hope. Because He is risen. And one day he will restore things. One day the pain and suffering of this world will disappear. One day things will be made right. One day those who have decided to follow him will be with him for eternity. There is hope because of this day. And if your answer is maybe, no one's going to shape their life on maybe. And I actually think a lot of people live in this space. Yeah, maybe. And they kind of float. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. In essence, maybe is no. Because you're not going to change the way you live based on a maybe. You're effectively living as if you don't believe it. So here's the question that I want you to take away today. Are you letting your answer to this question shape your life? Remember at the start I said that today is the most important day of your year, and some of you look and say, oh, isn't that nice that you think that? But if you actually will take this question, the rest of this year could be different for you. Maybe you today, you actually need this reminder. You know what? Actually, my answer to this is yes. I do believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And now you can be reminded each day for the rest of this year. Today, I choose to live in the truth of the promises of the cross. Today, whatever I face, whether it be the best news of my life or the most devastating news I could receive, I'll look at that through the lens of the cross. This day, I choose to explore the rest of the teachings of Jesus, because if he can rise from the dead, I guess I should get to know a bit more about him and what he did and why he did it and how that can shape my life. If you'll let this question sit at the heart of your life, it will help shape the rest of your year, the rest of your years. If we as the church will take this seriously, like just for a moment, but imagine with me that Jesus rose from the dead. Hopefully some of us can do that relatively easily. It's really what God's calling us to do in this community is nothing in comparison to what he's already achieved through Christ on the cross. How much hope, how much encouragement, how much perspective does that bring to us as a church? That he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world because he raised Jesus from the dead. That is what we build everything that we do on. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us reaching out to our community, because we know that there is a hope that they need to know and that they need to experience. And the last question is this. Are you ready to say yes to Jesus? Maybe this is yes for the first time, or maybe this is yes again. Maybe you've not really been following Jesus. You've sort of known it was there, but you've never actually said, you know what, I'm going to give my life to this. Because why would you say that? Why would you say yes to Jesus? Because you answered yes to the question, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Because if your answer to that is yes, then every other question Jesus asks of you, the answer is yes. So maybe today you're actually ready to say yes for the first time. I'd encourage you, if you came with someone or you know someone here, have a chat with them afterwards. Say, hey, I actually want to follow Jesus. I don't know quite what that means yet. I just know that the answer is yes. Would you help me work that out? Or maybe you're here today and you actually know that there's some things maybe God's pressing on you. Maybe there's some questions, there's some challenges. Maybe there's something going on that you feel God's leading you to or stretching you towards. And you know the answer that you need to give to him is yes. You're scared or you're unsure or something's wrestling with you there. I wrestle with that. Sit in that space. But come back to that question. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Because if yes, wow, that shapes everything. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but those who believe it is the power of God. This is the central message of the Christian faith. I pray that as you go out today, you will be blessed, you'll be reminded, you'll be challenged, that your faith is built on the rock, on the story of the cross, on the reality of Jesus' resurrection. And Christianity is only still here today because this story has been taken out and brave people have stood in places and looked foolish to share the good news of Jesus to a world in need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the cross. There are so many other things we are grateful for. We're so thankful for your teaching and for the things that we learn and the strength that comes from that. But Lord, we thank you for the cross. That you lived, died, and rose again. May we be reminded, may we be encouraged as we choose this day and every day to follow you, to live on the truth of the story of the cross. Give us the courage to stand on that story when we come up against people who may label us a fool. Help us to be reminded of the power that comes. Lord, may we face the joys that we get in our life through the humility of the cross. And may we face the pain and heartbreak through the power of the cross. May it be the thing that binds us together as a church and sends us out into our community to bring your story of truth and reconciliation to a world in need. We thank you in Jesus' name.